One time, neighbouring neighbour Alex and I was with yesterday. They have a channel that can be open and their Alex from inside the cell to the outside of the back of the cell. Electrical properties of the postsynaptic membrane. change. And that is called personal capital potential. It's just like the action potential. Okay? Are you more or less happy with this? I'll explain in more detail. Okay, so these receptors are controlled by the eye channel. And there are two types of receptors. So the receptor that's shown here is called the ionotropic receptor. And the way it controls the eye channel is just straightforward. So here is the glass, this is the glass that lets the screen back inside of the postsynaptic neuron. So again, here is the top membrane. So
I believe the things that are the negative charge cell, they become more
And just Actually, totally attached to this, like mash, what's going to happen, this was totally accurate, actually have this parasite-filled antihistamine, which kind of reduces the symptoms of allergy, also reduced psychotic symptoms in schizophrenic people, and that's how the typical neuroleptics came about. They have a pretty important side effect, so then the antihistamine, they act as a different part of the dopamine system. They actually decrease dopamine effects, so they might then never reduce the effect that dopamine has. And I'm going to talk about schizophrenia in the very last lecture, and how the trio dopamine and schizophrenia are actually connected. And the arguments that might link dopamine activity are all sorts of signals. And next, called the reciprocity effect. And that acts on the dopamine system, all the complexities act on the dopamine system, and then it's pretty much all drugs, recreational drugs, that make you feel good act on the dopamine system because they activate the reward feeling of it, so they make you feel better by mimicking dopamine. All dopamine gets released, the better we feel really. It's what's involved in addiction. So now we'll hear about it more next year, actually. Okay, just kind of quickly have a look at noradrenaline. It also produces the sympathetic nervous system, and it affects the spinal cord and neural cortex. And as I already said, it has cortex receptors in the limbic pituitary and the reason for that is that adrenaline, of course, is involved in the increase of vigilance. You get stress, increased sedation, adrenaline shoots out, binds to all cortex receptors, and sort of sends it really alert. You have to increase it with a couple of alerts, and then you can kind of react with the right path. And so adrenaline is also quite interesting neurotransmitter. And so adrenaline, again, is used in epilepsy, very nuclei. And mostly the axons project to the limbic system, which you may remember from yesterday, and also to the cortex. And so far we know of 9 different types of receptors that get compared to other receptors produced either in the or potentially potential. And you all know this is involved in mood regulation. So it's involved in emotion. Obviously, it goes together with mood regulation, but also sleep regulation. And there's more and more evidence now also that it's involved in cognitive function, mostly learning and memory. Again, if we kind of look at the drugs, which I know of, they tend to be agonist ones that suppress, that mimic serotonin action. Again, and liberate. do a kind of drug. So then the agonist will become the same agonist as the metabolic map with those fibers. So it binds the receptors on the muscles, and what it actually does is it makes the muscles more rigid. And if you get enough of it, you'll get paralyzed and you may die because your breathing apparatus doesn't properly work anymore. Antagonists also usually paralyze your brain by a very different mechanism. And some examples are oxytocin, aspirin, and curare. Now, oxytocin is the toxin that can be created by cattle feeds. So if you count vegetables, if you do it wrong, it can create oxytocin. Now, there's somewhere that a spoonful of it can actually wipe out most of mankind. It's a very, very, very special poison. And those of us who are worried about wrinkles, the issue is bacterial. So what's much important is that Botox is actually a much, much better form of oxytocin, and it paralyzes muscle fluid. So we have a Botox injection, we have that. But while forming that kind of fluid is a pain, they bind most to the clinic receptors, but in this case, they relax the muscles. So they get paralyzed because you can't actually use them anymore. The problem usually is you die from it because you're really afraid and the heart don't work. Well, I'm going to talk about the apparatus a bit, and maybe one interesting thing about Uzumay is that when people have strokes, the destruction of neurons by lack of phosphorus supply results in a widespread release of Uzumay. And because that can't be taken up again, can't be destroyed, it actually creates these huge presynaptic potentials in all the surrounding neurons, and eventually kills those too. So one of the problems with stroke, and also controlling the stroke, is that you need to control the effects of glutamate on surrounding brain tissue. And a lot of drug development and a lot of research at the moment that goes on in stroke actually focuses on trying to deal with that, so that only the tissue is destroyed that actually is immediately by the artery, for instance, that's blocked. And if you can block the effects of glutamate, you can actually save much brain tissue that would otherwise be destroyed by the stroke. My GABA is interesting in so far as that it has two receptors, A and E, and they can also make subtypes that we discovered, so for instance, GABA A and omega of about 30 subtypes. The reason for that is likely to be wide distribution. Now, agonists for GABA receptors, which are inhibitory in nature, are made aware of things which are angry receptors. Right, combating drug and the visual disease, so they bind to GABA A, as does, for instance, alcohol, and normal effects these things have. Okay, neuropeptides, that's the last one I'm going to talk about. They are neuromodulators, so they have active neurotransmitters, they modulate what effects other neurotransmitters have, and they are essentially endogenous opioids. And they have three receptor types that are mostly located in the limbic system and the brain stem, so they can affect mood, and they will affect for general function, like respiratory reflexes, cardiac reflexes, and things like that. And this is why, for instance, neuropeptides can be the energetic effects it's useful for pain control. Pellets can be used for pain control, but it's not just for use as well. So pellets also have an effect on nervous system, but at the moment it's not actually quite clear how that works. Okay, at least the last chapter is a little bit interesting. I know it's a little difficult, but last chapter of all of this will be dealt with. Next week, we're going to talk briefly about okay, well, see you next time.